You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news with a local perspective. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada. Hello and welcome to CICK News for Thursday, April 4th. Today, I'm sharing my conversation with Freya Giles about the Canadian government's proposed new legislation for natural health products. All NHPs are regulated under the Natural Health Products Regulations, which is a separate and distinct regulatory framework from prescription drugs. NHPs are regulated in a manner appropriate for the lower risk nature of these products, which include herbal remedies, some sunscreens, vitamins, and minerals. According to a 2010 census, nearly 70% of Canadians use these products every day to care for themselves and their families. And according to Health Canada, that's why it's vital that they are safe and of high quality. Under the regulations, companies that manufacture, package, label, or import NHPs must hold valid product and site licenses and follow good manufacturing practices requirements. I reached out to Health Canada for an interview, but I was not granted an interview, though they emailed me some responses to questions. Health Canada works continuously to create a safer marketplace for people in Canada. This includes introducing new regulatory and legislative changes to improve the safety of NHPs and respond to a changing marketplace. In 2021, the Commissioner of the Environment and Sustainable Development completed an audit of Health Canada's NHP program and found both strengths and areas for improvement. The audit identified the need for increased oversight of the quality of NHPs, greater monitoring of labels and advertising, improved product labeling, a risk-based inspection program, strengthened tools for compliance and enforcement. But Canadian herbalists and natural health care product manufacturers are saying this is a government overreach and that NHPs should be legislated under a new act called the Charter of Health Freedom, which would protect access to NHPs and traditional medicines by creating a separate legal category for them that is neither foods nor drugs.
Hi, I'm Freya Giles, and I operate Fawn and Crow Apothecary in the beautiful Bulkley Valley in northern BC.
Freya, can you tell me what defines a natural health product?
Okay, so a natural healthcare product, in my understanding, is a supportive product that's derived from natural sources via plants, minerals, you know, anywhere along those vitamins. Some examples could be a lemon balm tincture or a soap that has medicinal ingredients in it. It could be a supplemental vitamin or a arnica salve.
What spurred this proposed legislation to put more stricter rules for businesses of any size that sell natural health products?
To my knowledge, the main thing that I've found through my research is just regulating things that they consider to be dangerous or harmful to people, similar to a drug, because at this point it is, these natural healthcare products are being classified as a drug under the Food and Drug Act. So stricter regulations for anything that could be harmful.
Can you explain what the Charter of Health Freedom is?
So the Charter of Health Freedom would essentially separate herbalism or supplements or anything plant-derived that is a supportive to any other medicines or supportive to your bodily systems, you know, your lymphatic system or your immune system. It would separate that classification from the food and drug and put it under a new classification of a health act, basically, that covers all things that are supplemental or herbalism. So similar to when tobacco came through, it was under the Food and Drug Act, and they made its own tobacco act to regulate everything that happened under tobacco in one act. So it separates all supplements from the Food and Drug Act, and it codifies it, hopefully, into legislation under its own Health Freedoms Act.
Okay, so I just want to kind of turn this on you and your experience. How does this affect you, your business, or even the legitimacy of your right to grow and sell natural remedies?
Well, it impacts me quite significantly. And I just want to say one thing. I'm really cool with some legislation. I do think that there should be some processes and ways to identify the safety of the things that we're using, especially when it comes to dosages. But for myself, you know, I grow a lot of medicinal herbs and I make arnica salve and I make some of these things that would be essentially considered illegal. So what I'm looking at right now is pulling all of my teas and my tinctures and salves, and I can classify them under the Cosmetic Act, which basically means I can't talk about any of the medicinal benefits of any of the herbs that I'm using or any botanicals that I'm using in any of my products. So I can offer a calendula salve, but I can't say that it's good for skin or it's anti-inflammatory. So, but as far as tinctures and teas goes, those are, there's no way around it. They're not a cosmetic, and they would essentially be, without me getting one of these licenses, I would be illegal by manufacturing it.
And what are the cost of these licenses? I was reading a little bit. There's a site. I believe there's a site license and a manufacturer. Can you describe what some of those are?
Yeah. So the site license is where you're manufacturing. And then some of the other licenses that come after that can include novel ingredients, which are ingredients that basically in herbs, there's what's considered a materia medica or a monograph to each plant. And it's all the accumulated information over, you know, we're talking hundreds of years about a plant. And some of these are considered novel ingredients, which means the government doesn't have a lot of information about these. One is lion's mane herb, which according to some folks that I know on the coast would become a $50,000 license to work with. So for me, I believe that there's three or four classes of licenses that you would have to achieve depending on if you're making tinctures or drying herbs or what kind of things that you're manufacturing. So I would be looking at, for what I'm doing, making, say, like tinctures or teas and some of my medicinal salves, like between $23,000 and $28,000 for a site license. Essentially puts me out of business.
On May 12th, 2023, Health Canada published its proposed fees for natural health products. The proposed fees fell into three categories: pre-market evaluation for the assessment of new products entering the Canadian market or amendments to existing products, site licenses for the assessment of facilities that manufacture, import, label, and package natural health products, and the right to sell. Health Canada responded to my request for an interview by letting me know that Health Canada undertook public consultations on its fee proposal between May 12th and August 10th, 2023, as part of its ongoing commitment to consultation and transparency. Informed by these consultations, Health Canada made significant revisions to the proposed fees and on March 27th, 2024, published these revisions. These revised fees are based on feedback focused on recovering costs for existing program activities, including costs for the inspection program as it currently exists, and include new costs for the administration of the fee regime. Anyone who is interested is invited to submit final feedback on the revisions to the proposed fees during a feedback forum that is open for a 30-day period, which started on March 27th until April 25th, 2024. This input will be considered before the fees for NHPs become final.
But it is pretty scary and pretty devastating. I think one of the main things that I wanted to tell people about these licenses is literally overnight, there would be a vacuum of people shutting down a lot of community herbalists and a lot of community people who offer supportive knowledge. Anyone who's in herbalism, I think, understands that this is all supportive. We're not here to cure diseases. We all know that we can't cure diseases. We're just here as like a supportive alternative therapy. And essentially, I do believe that it will create more danger for people because they will turn to their online and can order anything from any other country and have it imported, which to me makes no sense. So yeah, you can't buy a, let's say, an arnica salve or a lemon balm tincture from your local person, but you could order it online and have it come from a different country that doesn't have regulations.
So in reading the Canadian government website, the main authorities from the Food and Drug Act that Health Canada seems to want to enact seem to be aimed toward safer, more transparent manufacturer-consumer relationship. Now, in just an article that was posted on the Canadian government website in just October of last year, Some of those items, and I'm just going to list two that stood out to me, were require a label change or package modification if necessary to prevent serious injury to health, or to order a person to provide information to determine if a product presents a serious risk of injury to human health. Now, what, as a small business owner, did these recommendations threaten in your mind? Because to me, the wording, whether or not it's kind of innocuous enough to pass legislation, it seems like there might be a need to have clearer labeling or to have maybe a more transparent approach as to the side effects of something for someone, an allergy or something like that. Like, is that, does that not seem like maybe that would be something that's needed in the natural health product world?
I feel like it is. And under the current structure, there is quite a rigorous, like in order to get a natural healthcare product number right now, it is quite a rigorous process. And it is not, as of now, there is no cost. And this is, I think, what the huge problem is coming up for people is their cost. But I absolutely do agree that the labeling, there is what I would consider some snake oil out there, or people making wild claims about like curing cancer and stuff. And I really do think that needs to be weeded out. I think under this proposed legislation is an extreme overreach. Mm-hmm. And I can honestly say, out of all the herbs that I work with, none of them are dangerous. I don't think any of them are dangerous with the proper labeling, like you say. And I do agree with the proper labeling with dosages. And when we talk about dosages or we talk about labeling, we're going back to that materia medica that I was talking about, or the monographs, and it's all the accumulated knowledge of this plant and how it's been used and what system it works within your body, whether it's a nervine relaxant or an anti-inflammatory and whatnot. So if we work with those monographs, which the government is, they're providing monographs that are guidelines for the natural healthcare products right now. And so I do think it's very important part of the industry. And, you know, one thing you could do that would make it, I guess, more approachable is a lot of my friends are clinical herbalists. So you have a consultation before you especially take an internal herb, like a blended tincture. And you would sit down with a herbalist and talk with them for maybe a half an hour, an hour before you would get a specific blend. But as far as like a, you know, an arnica salve in comparison to a detox tincture, that they just seem so different to me, like the, or like a calendula salve or a balsam poplar salve. These things are very, very low risk. And for them to be categorized into the same category as a drug, it just seems like the government hasn't quite sorted out which risk is what, and they're all being lumped into the same category.
Absolutely. Brad, do you have time for a couple more questions? Or
sure, yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. What question would you have for a Food and Drug Acts liaison officer? What question would you have that you think should be answered that you find is hard for you to wrap your head around right now?
What is the actual, I understand the benefit for them for these insane prices. What is the benefit to the community and the people who rely on supplements? And underneath that word supplements, I'm including all herbalism. You know, how does this benefit the communities? Because from what I'm hearing right now, a lot of people are quite worried that they're going to lose access to a lot of these products. Many companies that we know will be shutting down and possibly manufacturing somewhere else. My other question would be is, and this is a little bit spicy, what right do you have to gatekeep knowledge that has nothing to do with the government? This is knowledge that has been, you know, gathered for, you know, we're talking like hundreds, if not thousands of years. And I don't understand how the government can basically gatekeep this information. So how is that possible for them to remove the access and the knowledge from community?
Yeah, but you already do have to apply for licenses right now, as you mentioned.
Yeah,
what's that process? Do you have time to tell me what that process is?
Yeah, so I don't have a natural healthcare product number right now. I'm in the midst of getting cosmetic numbers and transforming what I'm doing while this is happening to see if the Health Freedom Act goes through and I will be able to acquire a natural healthcare product number. Of getting a license, it's really rigorous. There is a school on Vancouver Island called the Wild Rose College of Herbal Medicine, and they also run, the owners of that run Harmonic Arts. And I've been watching, they make many, many mushroom tinctures mostly, and supportive tinctures is basically their main thing. And it is actually extremely difficult. There's testing involved. It can take, well over 6 months for this paperwork to be pushed through. And you have to provide safety data sheets as well as reliable monographs from like a trusted source if you're making any health claims. So if you're saying this tincture will reduce inflammation, you have to have monographs for those ingredients that are in that blend that are proven from reliable sources. And there's a ton of reliable sources because it's quite an open source knowledge for this kind of stuff. So after you jump through all of those hoops, you do get a natural health, which you do have to display on your packaging at this point.
Does this include like any traditional indigenous medicine as well, or is that a different category?
There is some exemptions. So amongst from what I understand, and I'm totally open to correction because I'm still reading through all of this legislation too, and under the current Natural Healthcare Product Act and the new proposed act, that Indigenous medicine is exempt unless you are retailing, and then you fall under the exact same laws as everybody else with your health claims and your medical claims and the packaging. By the way, the packaging also includes like bilingual, because we are a bilingual country. So if you have like cautions or instructions on there, they have to also be in French. And so if an Indigenous person wanted to sell their medicines outside their community or even gift, that they would have to follow all the same legislations. And that goes for like Chinese medicine as well, and other traditional medicines that are practiced.
So the petition right now is to enact a charter of health freedom. Is that correct?
Yes, and I think when you're signing that, you're also opposing the new legislation. Basically, when you're signing this petition, you're supporting the new Health Act, like separating supplements and herbalism from the Food and Drug Act and making its own act. And included in that act would be, we have a Minister of Transportation, we have the Minister of Health, this would be the Minister of Wellness, and under this act, and we would have a whole section of our government that regulates under this act, under this new legislation. I thought this legislation was coming next year, and I expected at some point in time, maybe at the market or maybe one of my like extended community of herbalists in BC or across Canada would get a call from Health Canada and say, hey, you have to stop doing this. And this week, three herbalists that I know have gotten the call from Health Canada. One of our friends in Victoria, Apotheca Herbals, got the call. She does tinctures, teas, and supplements and many different things in her retail storefront. And Health Canada said she's not allowed to sell any of that stuff anymore without a certification, like a natural healthcare product number. And so she's looking at losing her business overnight. So Health Canada is on it right now. And I don't know how big of a team that they have, but if you're doing advertising and you are making these products, then I'm sure you're going to get a call soon. Even though it's April 2025 that this would happen. So I think a lot of us are pretty scared right now. And, someone like myself, I'm working with really safe herbs. I'm not working with anything that could hurt people. But I do also understand that there should be framework and there definitely should be strict, labeling. I think that's really important for like consumer safety and information. But I'd say most of the herbs that we're people are working with are pretty safe. But yeah, it's definitely like a huge fight worth fighting. And I think that it's not just for people who have a business. It's literally about community wellness and like information and not like you said, diversity and protecting age-old traditions that people have been using for like hundreds, if not thousands of years. Yeah.
Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today, Freya.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
If you are interested in giving your feedback before April 25th about how Canada should legislate natural health products, the easiest place to find the form is on the site npc-corp.ca.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer, Pam Hassan, and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.